Hey, Open Arms Church, it's so good to be with you. I trust that you're having a blessed Sunday. I send greetings all the way from Cape Town, South Africa. My name's Andre. I'm married to Leanne, and we've got two beautiful girls, Juliana and Zaru, who are 8 and 6. Of course, I'm sending my love to Pastor Sean and Jill and Pastor PJ and Liz. And Pastor Sean and Jill are really our best friends. Well, that's what they tell us. So hopefully they don't have other best friends. This would really be a problem. But we send our love to you guys. I love the city of Dublin and the country of Ireland. And I've got to be there on 3 different occasions. I really just love you guys. I think you guys are the funniest people. Our South Africans are like the second funniest group after that. But we're so excited to. I'm so excited to share the day with you. And Leanne sends her love. Even as we are all going through this COVID season, and I want to encourage you that you've still got great purpose. I actually think our purpose has been fast-tracked and maybe even made clearer in this season. I lead a church, it's called View Church, Tailview, and we've been saying to our church that there's never been a better opportunity to share. If there's anything that we're known for as we come out of this COVID season, is we want to be known as the church who shared everything. You know, we want to share our resources with vulnerable families. We want to share our prayers. So we cover our church in prayer. We pray 4 times a day. But we also want to share our services. We joke about it. It's the prayers you don't pray that don't get answered. It's a seed you don't sow that don't reap a harvest. And it's the services you don't share that your friends won't see. Even Facebook tells us. They say, if you want your friends to see this, share it. So evangelism in this unique season is spelled S-H-A-R-E. The reason I say these things is as the church, we haven't lost our purpose. In a way, our purpose has been fast-tracked. There's never been more speed to the gospel as we are putting the gospel online like never before. And I encourage you to not miss out on this opportunity. We're still not meeting in buildings, and I know that you guys are also in the process of not meeting, but going towards it one day, and we're in the same process. But even when we do meet, let's not miss out on the opportunity to share the gospel online and then one day be in buildings and be doing it all together. And I know you guys have been doing an amazing job. I've been watching. You guys are really a phenomenal church. And God wants to bless you. I want to quickly look at a psalm. And even as you and I are called to share and to be the church and to bring God's love to our world, I want to encourage you that God is going to sustain you even as you do that, as you live out your purpose. I think somebody who understood being sustained, no matter what the season, was David. And in Psalm 23, I think you would know this scripture. It's quite a famous one. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's quickly pray together. And I encourage you to interact. If you haven't shared the service on Facebook, why don't you go there quickly and share it so your friends can see it. And I encourage you, if there's anything good, I'll say amen. Or if I don't say good things, you can say that's not good. Anyway, try not to say that. That wouldn't help. But if you want to agree, I encourage you to interact. But let's pray. God, we just come to you now, and we just thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. And I pray that everyone watching would directly hear from you. And this would help all of us, and so that we can not only grow in our relationship with you, but we can also be the church that sees many more people come into relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say amen, why don't you say amen, or you agree, you can put the prayer hands up. What's so interesting to me about the scripture is that if anyone understood God's protection, God's provision, it would be David, because he experienced God in the valley and on the mountaintop. He said, you know, that God prepared him a table for him even in front of his enemies. And what we learn is even what Satan tries to do or get in the way of, he can't stop what God has already planned for your life and how God wants to provide for your life. If anyone understood anointing, David would also understand it. As a young boy, he was anointed to be a king. So when he speaks about that, he not only speaks about that significant moment, he's trying to help us understand that God actually anoints us daily. It can feel like an ordinary day, but because we receive it, we get into God's presence and say, God, will you refresh me? And the scripture says, be full daily. It's an ongoing thing. He can take our ordinary and do the extraordinary. And that's what I encourage you to do. We are, as the church on the planet, called to do extraordinary things for God in our ordinary days. And the only way we do it is with the anointing of God. It says, you anoint my head with oil. This is in verse 5, my cup overflows. If you look at sheep, because this is what scripture says, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Sheep actually get anointed with oil daily, especially in this setting where David is writing from. If you look at it, shepherds still anoint their sheep with oil. And there's some basic reasons. The first reason is that sheep are in rough terrain. Even the greenest pastures still have some rough terrain, and sheep get wounded. They get scratched. They get bruised. And shepherds would take that oil and put it on the wounds to heal them. So the first thing I want to help you to understand about God's anointing on your life and for your life is that God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you so that you can keep living out your purpose on his team. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but hurt people hurt people. So whenever you hurt and you're in an argument, there's going to be this want to hurt the other person back. Well, healed people heal people. So God wants to heal you so you can bring healing to your world. It's like you can't give your world what you don't have, and God's offering it to you. He wants to heal you, and there's an anointing. Not only does God anoint you to heal you with his anointing, but he also brings people into your world to heal you. Chris Hodges says that God saves us and then he uses people to heal us. And that's why it says in James, confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. Rick Warren says that God will never bypass people in your healing process. So God uses his anointing and then he uses his people to heal you. So even as you got great purpose, spend time with God and then also stay in community. It might be online right now, but don't neglect the meeting together. Jump online, interact, get into a Zoom group. But let God heal you and use his anointing. He actually anoints other people to bring healing into your life. Maybe you've had scars that have opened up in the season. Maybe the roughness of the season has opened up some wounds, or maybe even wounds of the past, and you can try to fix it. But God's the ultimate healer, and he can do a great job. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Of course, so if we want his power, his anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, we must recognize that he wants to provide daily provision. And even as he does that, the good shepherd provides for us, anoints us, that we can live extraordinary lives in an ordinary day. The second reason shepherds would anoint their sheep with oil is he wants them to stay healthy. So sheep, they get their wounds healed. But there are other things in the day that could cause sheep to get unhealthy. And one of the things was flies. Flies would get up sheep's nose. I don't know if anything's ever got up your nose, almost irritated you or caused you to be so frustrated and you can't shake it off as Taylor Swift would want us to do. But sheep would actually try to shake the flies out of their nose. They would get so frustrated, they say, that they would actually bang their heads and cause some serious damage, and some sheep would even die. So all of a sudden they get healed of past wounds, but then today's problems get up their nose. And God wants us to stay healthy. Just like the shepherd would pour oil in the sheep to stay healthy, God wants you and I to stay healthy. See, the flies would actually get into the nose of the sheep and sort of get a grip, but the oil would cause it to lose its grip. I don't know if you've ever found it, but I could be irritated, and all of a sudden I just spend time in God's presence, and what was gripping me loses its grip, and it actually starts to leave my life. Offense, bitterness, anger, and even as God has got this great calling for us as a church, we can let things grip us. Maybe it's what's happening in the country. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's the restrictions with lockdown. And you can let that get up your nose instead of letting God keep you healthy and keep living out your purpose. But we as a church are called to live out our purpose. And the best way is to stay healthy in God's presence. Let him anoint you. The third reason why we see shepherds anoint their sheep is because sheep butt heads. And so, of course, they get upset at each other, and normally the male sheep would do this. I don't know if the female sheep would butt heads, but the male sheep would butt heads, and they could cause, again, some serious damage and actually crack the skull. So the shepherd would put oil on the sheep's head, so when they actually butted heads, they would slide off each other. And so there would be less damage caused, because they understand there is sort of some disagreements that happen in the flock. The reason why God pours oil on our heads, anoints us, is he helps us get it together so that we can get it together. I'll explain that. Once we can live together and dwell together, then all of a sudden we can do more together for the kingdom. But if we can't get it together and we're butting heads, we'll never be able to look outward and help other people. We'd always be inward. We're always trying to sort out our fights instead of reach our world. So God anoints us to get it together. God actually wants us to be unified. Psalm 133, 1-3 said, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore." I love this scripture because it says how pleasant is it when people dwell together in unity, and that there's an anointing. So first of all, sheep get oil poured onto their heads so they don't butt heads, and they can sort of dwell together. Then Psalm 133 says, how pleasant is it when they can dwell together in unity? And he said there's it's like oil that runs down Aaron's head. Aaron was a priest, and the senior priest, and almost carried the anointing for ministry, and saying that the anointing on his life flows down when there's unity. And there's a flowing of ministry that comes when there's unity. So the shepherd puts oil on the sheep's head so they can not butt heads. And God anoints us so that we can be into agreement. But as soon as we come into agreement, there's a pleasantness, there's a goodness, and there's an anointing, and there's a refreshing, and there's a sustaining that happens for us. Why? Because we have got a great purpose. So Colossians 3 verse 14 says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." So God wants us to live together in unity. Even as we see the shepherd pour oil on the sheep's heads, of course, to heal them, to keep them healthy, and to keep them unified, all of a sudden we start experiencing life to the full. And Psalm 33 speaks about it. When we live in unity, all of a sudden we see that life's more enjoyable. It's more pleasant. I don't know if you've ever found your house, when there's unity, it's way more pleasant to be in the house. If there's disagreement and disunity, it's not as pleasant. How much more in the church? If the church isn't a pleasant place to be in because brothers and sisters aren't in unity, why would the world want to come into the church? Even as we've got a great purpose, our job is to protect the unity. As we do that, all of a sudden the ministry goes to another level. You know, I always say this, you never invite somebody to something you don't enjoy. If you're not finding that it's enjoyable and pleasant, you'll never invite anyone to it. How do you make it enjoyable and pleasant? Well, you protect the unity. You let God anoint you so that you can live in unity. And scripture says, they'll know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. So sometimes the best ministry is just unity, and people see it and they want part of it because it's pleasant, it's good. The other thing we see in Psalm 133 is that we'll become more capable. It says there's an anointing that flows like the anointing on Aaron's life. And all of a sudden, we have got an anointing for ministry. We have got an ability from heaven to live out our destiny. Disunity stops that, but unity causes that to flow. With Nehemiah, they built a wall in unity. And on the back end of building a wall in unity was a spiritual revival. Unity leads to a spiritual move of God. See, a united team can perform as if it were there were twice as many people. So sometimes you're just trying to make your team bigger, but all you need to do is just get them unified and it will seem twice as big. Leviticus 26 verse 8 says, 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000 and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. See, unity doubles your team and multiplies your effort. So I want to encourage you to get into unity. Not only will life be more enjoyable, but there will also be an ease, an anointing for ministry. So we see in Psalm 33 that unity also refreshes you and sustains you. It gives you a picture of the dew that's on the high mountain being on the low mountain and saying that experience that the higher mountain's got, the lower mountain will have the same experience. So what's happening in heaven, the refreshing, the power of God will be the same on earth when we're in unity. We open our life up to God's blessing. So I want to encourage you to get into unity. It's going to be more pleasant. You're going to find there's more ability and there's more refreshing. And as a church, we're going to do more that God wants us to do. And that's why God anoints us. So all I want to encourage you with today is that God wants to anoint you for ministry, anoint you to be the church. And even as the good shepherd puts oil on us, he does it to heal us. He does it to keep us healthy and he does it to keep us unified. And even as we're unified, life becomes more enjoyable. We become more capable and we stay more refreshed. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I want to encourage you, even if you're fighting in the season, just to keep going and to keep your head up and to break through even those thoughts that are wounding you or things that are irritating you. Why don't you stay unified? Why don't you get into God's presence and stay on team and see God do a miracle in your life and the church get unified to bring a miracle into their world and we can carry on being the church. What an exciting season. Clearly, our best days are ahead of us. And we know that because every day is a day closer to spending eternity in heaven with God. This year, maybe you are not in a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. I'm talking about becoming part of the church or being unified, living out your purpose. But you've never experienced salvation. You've never found your purpose in Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. When I was 19, I gave my life to Jesus. I knew he was the Son of God. I just never had acknowledged it. I went to church every Sunday, but I'd never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. It was the best day of my life. My only regret is that I didn't do it sooner. So what did I do? The first thing was I acknowledged that I needed Jesus as my Savior. I came to him and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you're the Savior. We're the perfect match. Then I had to get over trying to earn my salvation. I just had to receive it. I said, Jesus, I can't earn this, but I can receive it. I want to receive the free gift of salvation. Then what I did was I prayed a prayer. And Romans says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's in Romans 10 verse 9. So what I want to do quickly is give an opportunity to acknowledge your need for a Savior, receive the free gift of salvation, and then confess and you will be saved. So that's you. Why don't we pray together? For anyone watching, why don't you pray for anyone who's about to make a decision? Maybe you're sitting with somebody who needs to make a decision. Say, hey, I'll pray with you. Why don't you do that right now? But here we go. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need you as my Savior. Today, I want to receive the free gift of salvation. I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the grave. Because of this confession and this belief, the Bible says that I'm saved and I'm changed and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share Sunday with you. We love you, Sean and Jill. Can't wait to be with you in Dublin, Ireland one day and just to get to be back in that beautiful city. Have an awesome day. Cheers.